This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 365.5, down 2.5. September corn, 372.5, down 2. December corn, 382.75, down 2. July soybeans, 953.25, down 3.75. August soybeans, 946.5, down 3.75. September soybeans, 937, down 3.25. July wheat, 511, down 3.25. September wheat, 517.5, down 3.5. December wheat, 532, down 4.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Friday afternoon. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids mostly 2 to 3 lower at 341 to 360. Soybean bids down 3 to 4 cents at 930 to 949. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 2 to 3 lower at 345 to 366. Soybean bids down 4 to 6 cents at 938 to 958. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 3 to 4 cents at 349 to 374. Soybean bids 1 to 4 cents lower at 946 to 972. And the wheat bids dropped 3 to 4 cents at 417 to 471. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at 975 to 981. Basis steady to 1 cent lower at 22 to 28 over July. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 306.30 to 323.30. That's up $1.10 per ton, with basis steady ranging from 3 to 20 over July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents lower at 366 to 383, with basis steady ranging from option to 17 over July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 cents lower at 364 to 368, with basis steady ranging from 2 under to 2 over July. Soybeans down 4 cents at 963 to 973, with basis steady at 10 to 20 over July. And new crop wheat bids on Friday 3 cents lower at 490 to 493, with basis steady at 21 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at 387 to 388. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 3 to 4 cents with quotations at 994 to 995. Soft wheat down 3 to 4 cents at 510 to 511. And the Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 416 to 432. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 342 to 358. New crop soybean bids at 877 to 907. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 338 up to 355. New crop soybean bids at 899 to 914. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 345 up to 358. New crop soybean bids at 889 up to 909, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those ranged from 475 up to 504. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, $152.52, down $1.27. August live cattle, $150.80, down $1.27. October live cattle, $151.67, down $1.40. May feeder cattle, $2.19, down 25 cents. August feeder cattle, $218.40, down 55 cents. September feeder cattle, $217.52, down 50 cents. June lean hogs, $83.35, down 60 cents. July lean hogs, $83.92, down 72 cents. August lean hogs, $84.02, down 52 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.24 or higher in the range of $68.50 to $83, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.63. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $1 to $2 higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 18 to 24, 4 to 5 weights 22 to 27, 5 to 6 weights 25 to 28, and 6 weights and up 26 to 30. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $50 to $56.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 6,529 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 191 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were $159.50 to $162. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, $143 to $147.50. And choice slaughter heifers, $159.25 to $163.25. Now moving over to the special feeder sale at Fairview. They had receipts of 1,862 head. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 285 to 329. 5 weights were $2.51 to $3.50, $300.50. 6 weights were $2.30 to $2.67. And then moving on to the feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were $2.61 to $2.95. 5 weights were $2.59 to $2.82. 6 weights were $2.20 to $2.47. On to feeder bulls, they had some 4 weights bring $3.18, 5 weights $2.73, and 6 weights were bringing $1.95 to $2.13. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 237 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.48, and that was 89 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $264.74, that was $1.57 higher. And select carcasses, $251.31, that was $2.20 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $111,000. That compared to $115,000 last week and $113,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, cattle slaughter is running 7.2% lower. And on the hog slaughter was estimated at $410,000. That compared to $407,000 last week and $346,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter on a year-to-date basis is running 5.5% higher. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Farms across the Corn Belt are expected to bring in less income this year. As Todd Gleason reports, if something doesn't change, things may be even worse next year.
The farms most likely to lose money are cash rented by their tenants. The fixed land cost per acre is generally too high as related to commodity prices for corn and soybeans. A University of Illinois ag economist, Gary Schnitke, ran the disappointing numbers, and his price points were higher than the season's average cash price USDA released earlier in May. USDA is predicting a $3.50 cash price for corn.
Yeah, we're using $3.75. I would note, as you lower the market year average price, you'll also likely increase ARC payments, as well as commodity program payments, as well as crop insurance payments because of lower prices. So there is sort of a mitigating factor as you go down in prices. But at the $3.75 price, and we're looking for both corn and soybeans, and we're using $9.50 for soybeans versus WASD at $9 for next year, we're still seeing pretty low farmland returns for 2015.
If the cash rent paid is near average levels for the county, then Schnitke figures show an expected $67 per acre loss on highly productive central Illinois farmland. Share rent leases do better, but still it's pretty bad.
$21 a profit, but obviously in that case the landowner is receiving a lower return because of the share rent.
Those two numbers, 67 and 21, are the profits and loss based off a blend of corn and soybean being grown. Specifically, Schnitke says his crop budgets are projecting gross revenue from corn in the low to mid $800 per acre range.
Between 2010 and 2013, those corn gross revenues averaged above $1,000 per acre. It's really difficult to see a situation where we have gross revenues above $1,000 an acre. And we're going to be moving into a situation, unless we see dramatic price increases, where revenues and returns are tight, and that's going to then again lead to cash flow issues this fall, and where we're going to have to be making those tough cash rent fertilizer and seed choice decisions.
For what it's worth, Gary Schnitke and the rest of the University of Illinois Ag Econ Farm Doc team believe current commodity prices are at the bottom end of the new era plateau range and not at the top end of the old era. It doesn't help net income on the farm, but it does offer hope for the future. I'm Todd Gleason.
With more technology at the fingertips of farmers around the world, more data is being collected than ever before. So much so, we don't know what to do with it all yet. Big data has become more than just a buzzword, but a real concern for many farmers as they try to figure out what their rights are when it comes to data collected from their farms. President of GeoSilos, Matt Bechtel, has been working to bridge the gap between what big data really is and the common concerns farmers have.
Well, I think the biggest struggle is just understanding what it is and what it isn't. And it's a scary term because when you don't know what it is, you'd like to put these labels on it. Big data is really just data, but it's data that's either so voluminous or it's coming at us so quickly that we don't know what to do with it. So in the agricultural world, we're trying to understand how does data flow from a farm all the way up to a company or all the way back to a consumer, and how do we understand that data and how do we drive decisions from that data?
Bechtel says we're on the edge of what he calls a data revolution. That spells drastic changes for the farming industry.
Yeah, just like the green revolution or the mechanical revolution, this data revolution is really about kind of accelerating how we manage day-to-day operations or decisions on the farm. And then really what it's about is it's about taking what we've learned from those other revolutions and really synthesizing them and fully extracting the whole value of my management plan for fertilizer or my field operations. So it's about using data to drive decisions in addition to our farmer intuition that happens at home. I think what's going to happen is as we collect more and more data about everything we do, we're going to look at it in a more clinical sense. We're going to say what works, why did it work, you know, and what were the results, rather than what did we feel works, what's the way we've always done things. And so what we'll do is we'll take that data and we'll say we're going to confirm or deny what we've done is right. Or we're going to say, well, we were kind of right, but we need to shift some things. Data is going to help us fine-tune our management, and it's going to give us increased awareness about everything on our farm, potentially down to the plant level.
However, some are concerned that information collection and increased awareness seem to go hand in hand with an upshoot in regulations.
Yeah, I think, you know, we live in a heavy regulatory environment, and that's not going to change whether we have big data or not. Technology is allowing us to both protect ourselves as well as meet regulatory needs, which are only going to increase. So that is a reality that we face. But I think that it's more of an upside of protecting ourselves than the downside of some of the regulatory pressures.
When it comes to farmers being able to control their role in the data revolution, both now and in the future, Bechtel says not only should farmers read all the fine print, but having a goal in mind and sitting down and having a conversation with those collecting the data is key.
So the first things first, when you have data, you need to think about what you want to accomplish. And that's different for everybody. So as you do those things, you tend to want to reach out to other participants, players, cooperators, because it's not something we tend to have a lot of experts on the farm to do. So after you've decided what it is you want to accomplish, you need to sit down and have a conversation with your co-op, your provider, your equipment dealer to say, hey, I've got this data, or you're collecting this data. What access do I have? Do I own it? How are you using it? How is it shared? How is it secured and protected? We have to have a very honest conversation about that data because it represents your intellectual property. It's an asset, just like the equipment on the farm. So you have to have that conversation first. You have to know what you want to accomplish and what others are going to do as they help you. Beyond that, it's going to come down to your operation and what you need. Do you need to focus on tillage management? Do you need to focus on nutrient management? Do you need to focus on operations? You know, we're going to use the technology in many different ways, but we have to have an honest conversation about the data itself and its value.
One of the most important things to keep in mind, Bechdahl says, is not to be scared of the term big data.
I think the biggest takeaway that I hope people have from today is that they should not dismiss big data because it's this vague, scary IT tech term. The reality is that most of us on our farm, on my family farm, we're not doing big data, but we're participating in a larger audience that as that data gets accumulated, it is big data and people are going to be using it. So you have to know what you're getting into. So long as we're having a very honest adult conversation with our collaborators and cooperators and we know what we want, we're going to move forward and we're going to do some really good things. But we have to have that conversation and people just need to be aware of it.
Again, that was President of GeoSilos, Matt Bechdahl. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.